5 things to know this morning. 1. The Supreme Court ended its term yesterday with 2-6-3 rulings. Trump versus Barbara struck down Executive Order 14,160 and reaffirmed birthright citizenship under the 14th Amendment. Chief Justice Roberts writing for the majority. And West Virginia versus BPJ, consolidated with Little versus Hecox, upheld state laws banning transgender girls from women's and girls' school sports. Justice Kavanaugh writing for the majority. 2. In Doha, U.S. Envoy Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner met the Qatari Prime Minister, but not any Iranian counterpart. Iran continued to deny that formal high-level talks were scheduled. Delegations from both countries are expected separately today for technical talks with mediators from Qatar and Pakistan. 3. FISA Section 702, Day 20 of the lapse on Wednesday. No procedural breakthrough since Friday's Wyden blocks. 4. Tomorrow, General Christopher Donahue relinquishes command of U.S. Army Europe and Africa at Wiesbaden, Germany. Major General Christopher Norrie assumes duties. Command downgrades 4-star to 3-star under the Hegseth Senior Ranks Overhaul. 5. 2 special editions coming this week. A full review of the SCOTUS session that just ended, and a survey of the wild reforms recommended at the state and federal level since Trump took office. Watch for both. I'm Pip. Today is Wednesday, July 1st, 2026. 6 sections, the Barber ruling, the trans sports ruling, the Doha reality, the FISA standoff, Donahue tomorrow, and the 2 special editions teased at the close. Here we go. The Supreme Court, Tuesday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern. Trump versus Barbara, number 25-365, decided 6-3. Chief Justice John Roberts delivered the opinion of the court. Joined by Justices Sotomayor, Kagan, Barrett, and Jackson, the holding, Executive Order 14,160, signed January 21, 2025, violates the 14th Amendment Citizenship Clause. Children born in the United States to parents unlawfully or temporarily present are subject to the jurisdiction of the United States and are citizens at birth. Roberts, closing the majority opinion, the framers of the 14th Amendment extended that promise. We keep that promise today.
17 months. That's how long thousands of children born in this country have lived in a legal limbo constructed by executive order. Hospital administrators denying birth certificate registrations in non-sanctuary states. State agencies interpreting domicile inconsistently. Families choosing what state to give birth in based on where their child would count. Yesterday morning, that ended. And every child born under that order is a citizen, retroactively, under the plain text of the 14th Amendment.
Bash, right on the practical effect. And the coalition matters. Roberts is the surprise. He voted with the 4 Liberals plus Barrett. Not a case where the Conservative majority split along ideological lines. Roberts joined the majority and wrote for it.
Barrett is the other interesting vote. She's the newest justice, Trump's 3rd appointee, seated in 2020. And she voted against her appointing president's flagship executive order. Sotomayor plus Kagan plus Jackson were expected. Roberts and Barrett are the votes that made this 6-3 instead of 5-4.
Heap. And Jackson wrote a concurrence, joined in part by Sotomayor. Different reasoning path. Kavanaugh went a different direction entirely, concurred in the judgment alone. His position, the order violates the statute, 8 U.S.C. section 1401A, without needing to reach the constitutional question. Kavanaugh's concurrence in substance, Congress could, consistent with the 14th Amendment, amend section 1401A or enact new legislation establishing exceptions to birthright citizenship for children born to foreign citizens unlawfully or temporarily present. But Congress has not done so. That's an invitation. He's telling Congress they have a lane if they want it.
And I want to name what Kavanaugh's concurrence does politically. He gives the constitutional majority, Roberts wrote, but leaves the statute versus constitution question open. That's the door he's leaving open for Congress to legislate exceptions, which they can now try to do. The people affected by the 17-month executive order don't have a vote on whether Congress reopens the question, but now Congress is invited to.
Bash, the invitation exists. And amending Section 1401A would still have to survive 14th Amendment review under Roberts's opinion. Kavanaugh's carve-out is procedural, not substantive. You don't get a statute that violates the 14th Amendment by writing it more clearly. That's the majority's holding.
And then, Thomas, 91 pages, 9-1, joined by Gorsuch. The core argument, the 14th Amendment only applied to former slaves and their descendants. A position most legal scholars considered fringe 5 years ago. Alito wrote separately, shorter, similar direction. So the 6-3 coalition is Roberts, plus four liberals, plus Barrett on the Constitution, plus Kavanaugh on the statute. The three is Thomas plus Gorsuch on originalism of the narrowest kind, plus Alito.
And the 91 pages tell us this is not the end. Thomas is writing the roadmap for the next case. And there will be a next case. The people governed under Trump's executive order for 17 months got their citizenship back yesterday. That doesn't mean the fight is over.
Bash, that's fair. And the immediate practical effect is real. State agencies now have federal guidance to follow that resolves the domicile question. Hospital administrators can process birth certificate registrations without executive order caveats. The 17 months of operational limbo have ended. The legal architecture is settled, at least for the current statutory framework.
The Watch. Whether Congress moves to legislate under Kavanaugh's invitation, and whether Trump signals a follow-on executive order that tries to survive Roberts's 14th Amendment framework. The court's other Tuesday ruling. West Virginia versus BPJ, consolidated with Little versus Hecox, also 6-3. Justice Kavanaugh wrote for the majority. The holding, under Title IX and the Equal Protection Clause, states may maintain women's and girls' sports for biological females, and may determine eligibility based on biological sex. Kavanaugh, direct quote. The Constitution and Title IX do not require an overhaul of women's and girls' sports throughout America.
Kavanaugh's coalition here is different from Kavanaugh's Barbara position. In Barbara, he wouldn't join the constitutional majority. Here, he wrote the constitutional majority. Coalitions shift by case. The three-justice dissent, Sotomayor writing, joined by Kagan and Jackson, Sotomayor's argument, the court decided the issue without fully considering the scientific evidence surrounding transgender athletes.
The affected population is small in absolute numbers, but the ruling's effects will be broad. Every state with the ban already on the books, West Virginia, Idaho, and roughly two dozen others, now has federal cover. States without bans may add them. Trans girls in school sports across the country are the people whose lives change under this ruling. Their eligibility for school teams now depends on state legislatures, not on federal civil rights law.
And Barrett voted with the majority here too. Same 6-3 coalition as the transgender sports ban question. Roberts and Barrett and Kavanaugh and Thomas and Gorsuch and Alito on the majority. 6-3 the other way from Barbara. Barrett is the swing vote of this session. Not Roberts, not Kavanaugh. Barrett. Watch her going forward.
Heap, right on Barrett as the swing. And the two rulings together tell us something about how the court thinks. Roberts and Barrett will side with the liberals when the executive branch overreach is clear-cut. Barbara. They'll side with the conservatives when the court is deferring to state legislatures on contested social policy. BPJ. The court is drawing the lane where they will and won't defer to state action. That's the story of this session.
And the people affected by the two rulings are on opposite ends of the demographic map. Children born to immigrants in the past 17 months just got their citizenship back. Trans girls in school sports across the country just lost their federal cover. The court's coalitions produced different winners and losers in the same session. That's not incoherence. That's the coalition doing what its member justices think their jobs require on different cases.
The Watch, which states move to add or expand sports eligibility statutes in the wake of BPJ, and whether Congress moves to amend Title IX to codify a definition of sex. To Doha. Trump's Truth Social post on Monday morning. Iran has requested a meeting. It will take place tomorrow in Doha. All capitals, exclamation point. Tuesday's reality. US Envoy Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner arrived in Doha and met with Qatari Prime Minister Sheikh Mohammed bin Abdul Rahman bin Jassim Al Thani. No Iranian counterpart was present. Iran's position on Monday, restated Tuesday. No formal high-level talks were scheduled with the United States at any level in the coming days. Qatar's official framing. Technical talks between Iran and the United States are continuing, but there are currently no high-level meetings between the two sides under the existing negotiation mechanism. The White House framing. Positive discussions with regional leaders in Qatar. Technical talks with Iran are moving ahead. Delegations from both countries are expected today to participate separately in technical talks with mediators from Qatar and Pakistan.
The Trump post said one thing, the reality was different, and what actually happened was diplomatically closer to acceptable than what the post claimed. Meeting with Qatar's PM is real diplomatic work. Technical talks continuing, that's the substance. But the framing gap between Trump's post and the actual event is the pattern we've been tracking.
Bash. Write that the substance is real. And the framing gap is not incidental. It's the mechanism. Trump posts a maximalist claim on Truth Social. Foreign ministries read it. They have to plan for the possibility that the post reflects US position. When the post doesn't match the meeting, foreign ministries have wasted staff time and the credibility of future US signaling is degraded. That's the accumulated cost.
And Pezeshkian, Iran's president on X on Monday, direct quote, "Mutual understanding is a two-way street. If the American party adheres to the agreement, we will also fulfill our commitments." That's the calibrated Iranian response. It matches every substantive statement Iran has made through this ceasefire. They'll honor commitments if the US does. And the if is doing all the work. The Doha post from Trump undermines that if.
And Kushner's presence in Doha matters. He's not a State Department official. He's not a Pentagon official. He's the president's son-in-law. The Trump family is negotiating U.S. foreign policy in Qatar because the Trump family has closer relationships with Qatari leadership than the traditional U.S. diplomatic apparatus. That's a real and controversial architecture.
Kushner's Qatari relationships are documented. His Affinity Partners Fund has substantial regional backing. That's a genuine conflict of interest concern. And the mediation itself is happening. The technical talks continue. You can grant the conflict and grant the diplomacy. Both are true.
And Witkoff, he's Trump's special envoy for peace missions, real portfolio, real access. Both Witkoff and Kushner have real doors in Doha. The doors just aren't the doors Trump's Truth Social post claimed they were.
The Watch. Whether the Wednesday technical talks produce a written procedural update, and whether the Bergenstock IAEA inspection framework advances despite Tuesday's non-meeting. FISA, Section 702. Day 20 of the lapse, on Wednesday. No procedural breakthrough since Friday's widened blocks of Cotton's and Thune's short-term extensions. Senator Ron Wyden's outstanding demand, the release of a classified surveillance court opinion detailing abuses of Americans' rights under Section 702. The April 30th Cotton-Warner-Wyden declassification deal, its 15-day window expired mid-May, remains unfulfilled. That's the piece of the deadlock the Trump administration has not moved on for 6 weeks. The Senate calendar, no unanimous consent attempts on Section 702 scheduled through the end of the week per Senate leadership planning documents. The IC's emergency authority backstop for surveillance activities continues under prior FISC certifications running through March 2027.
Okay, so on the procedural question, nothing has changed since Friday. Wyden's block is the standing Democratic floor. Cotton's demand stack from Trump is the standing Republican ceiling. And Trump's ceiling and Wyden's floor don't overlap.
Bash, right. And Wyden's specific demand, the classified surveillance court opinion, is the item that could unlock a deal. If the administration releases the opinion, Wyden's floor moves. If they don't, it doesn't. That decision sits with the Attorney General and DNI. Neither has signalled movement.
And the IC is operating on prior certifications through March 2027. Which means the lapse doesn't have immediate operational effect on ongoing collection. But it does have effect on new collection targets. Those need fresh certifications, which the FISC can't issue without statutory authority. That's the erosion clock.
And every day the lapse continues, the intelligence community's ability to add new targets shrinks. Watch this as we exchange strikes with Iran, and while cyber threat actors are still active, the lapse has been abstract for 20 days. It becomes concrete the moment we need to add a new target and can't.
The watch. Whether the Attorney General or the Acting Director of National Intelligence signal movement on Wyden's classified opinion demand this week. Wiesbaden, Germany. Tomorrow, General Christopher Donahue relinquishes command of U.S. Army Europe and Africa at the Wiesbaden headquarters. His NATO-allied land command handover is a separate ceremony next Thursday, July 9th, in Turkey. Major General Christopher Norrie, Deputy Commander, U.S. Army Europe and Africa, assumes duties as commanding general. The command itself is being downgraded from a 4-star position to a 3-star position under Defense Secretary Hegseth's senior ranks overhaul. Norrie holds 2 stars. The command reduction from 4 to 3 matches the tier Norrie will operate at as acting commander. Donahue took command in December 2024. 18 months. Best known publicly for overseeing security during the 2021 U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan, the night vision Pentagon photograph of him boarding the last C-17 out of Kabul is the defining image of the war's end.
18 months. Not a full tour, not a completed campaign plan for the European theater, an abrupt departure, and the Army did not provide a reason.
Bash. Right that the Army hasn't given a reason. And the political framings are running in 2 directions. Some GOP lawmakers are framing this as accountability for the Afghanistan withdrawal, a reading that has traction in Trump's base. Others in both parties are framing it as part of Hegseth's Pentagon purge, a reading that has traction with military professional voices. Both readings are alive. Neither has been resolved by the Army's silence.
And Task and Purpose, the veterans publication, ran their headline as last soldier out of Afghanistan, now the latest general to step down. That's the veterans community framing. The wall of Trump-era Pentagon departures continues. The generals who came up under prior administrations are being cycled out. Norrie is a Hegseth-era pick, took the deputy job under this administration.
Norrie's biography reads clean. West Point, Armour Branch, Brigade Command in the 3rd Infantry Division, Deputy Commander in Europe since 2024. He's not a political appointment, but he's stepping into a downgraded command. The 4-star position that Donahue held will not be replaced by a 4-star. That's the ranks reduction Hegseth's overhaul is producing across the force.
And the European command being downgraded matters for the NATO relationship. The senior U.S. Army officer in Europe now carries one fewer star. Allied land command is now a three-star billet. That's a signal to NATO, even if unintended, about the weight the U.S. is putting on the European theater. Read against the Iran ceasefire negotiations and the Ukraine support debate, the downgrade lands as a symbol.
Bash, right on the signaling question. And the counter-argument. The three-star command may run more efficiently, cost less, and reflect the actual scope of US Army responsibilities in the theatre. You can grant Hegseth's efficiency case and still notice the signalling cost. Both are real.
The watch, the change of command ceremony format Thursday at Wiesbaden, and whether NATO allies signal at the ceremony their reading of the downgrade. Two special editions coming this week on Pip and Stall, both in production. First, a full review of the SCOTUS session that just ended. Every opinion, what the court did, what it didn't, what it said about how it decides. Coalitions, dissents, procedural moves, and the shape of the shadow docket. Roberts's incremental restoration of court legitimacy. Barrett as the swing vote of this session. Thomas's originalism of the narrowest kind. Kavanaugh's statutory workarounds. Jackson's coalition building on the Liberal side. A full accounting of a session that ended with 2-6-3 rulings on the same Tuesday. Watch for that later this week.
The connective tissue between the two specials is important. The SCOTUS rulings define what changes are constitutionally permitted. The reforms map is what the coalition wants to do. Read together, they tell you where the country is headed and where the friction points sit.
And for the audience that finds our conversational format on the Daily's works, the specials go deeper. More time on each ruling, more time on each reform, more sources cited in line. These are the deep dives that reward listening at full length.
And I'll be doing my part. The reform special is going to have receipts. Who proposed what? Who benefits? Whose donors are in the room? If a state legislator introduced a wild bill this session, we're pulling the campaign filings. If a federal agency issued a wild rule, we're pulling the comment record. Everything sourced.
Two specials this week. Watch for both. Package install success. I'm Pip.
I'm Bash. Today's through line. SCOTUS ended its term with 2-6-3 rulings. Barbara struck down Trump's birthright citizenship executive order under the 14th Amendment. West Virginia v. BPJ and Little v. Hecox upheld state bans on transgender girls in school sports under Title IX and the Equal Protection Clause. Roberts wrote Barbara. Kavanaugh wrote BPJ. Barrett was the swing on both. Kavanaugh's Barbara concurrence in judgment leaves Congress a lane to legislate exceptions to birthright citizenship if it survives 14th Amendment review. Thomas wrote a 91-page dissent on Barbara. In Doha, Witkoff and Kushner met the Qatari PM only, no Iranian counterpart. Technical talks continuing today with Qatar and Pakistan as mediators. FISA, day 20. Donahue relinquishes command tomorrow at Wiesbaden. Nori steps in. 4-star to 3-star. And two special editions coming this week, the SCOTUS session review and the wild reform since Trump took office survey.
We're at annardudley.com and on the newsletter, Power Moves Before Policy Does. Tomorrow on the Daily, the Donahue Wiesbaden ceremony, whatever comes out of today's Doha technical talks, and any Senate movement on FISA. Anna's brand is rigor. Sources are cited. We'll see you on the next install.